I'm Allie Burks, and you're listening to the Sunday Sermon Podcast, featuring sermons from our Sunday liturgy. The local church is a bold and inclusive new faith community in Chatham County, North Carolina, committed to being with and for one another, our community, and the world. We gather for the work of worship every Sunday morning at 9:30 at House of Hops in Pittsboro, North Carolina. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you have a place at the local church, and we'd love to see you.
Good morning. It is good to be at camp with all of you today and with those of you who are online. If you don't know me yet, my name's Alicia and I'm a summer intern from Duke Divinity School. So right now, we're in a series called Camp Local. This is a time to spend unwinding, going against the flow, reconnecting with each other, and possibly just helping Brent experience a childhood dream of going to camp. So last week, Brent asked us the question, what do you need, as we prepared to go to camp on an adventure? What are the things we need to pack in our bags to take on this journey, to give ourselves after a challenging year? So this week, I'm going to take us through the experience of the first night at camp, that feeling of being somewhere new, in the dark, and afraid. In true camp fashion, I'll be telling a couple stories today. So picture yourself around the campfire with the stars above your head and some crickets in the background as we enter the first night of camp. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the darkness you hold between the stars. We thank you that in the slow progression of the night, in the days and months and seasons when the light seems absent, that you too have sat in the darkness, that you too have felt the absence of light, and that you too will keep watch with us for the morning. May we lean into the dark and let you befriend us through it. Amen. So a few weeks ago, I found myself deep in the Oregon wilderness with a close friend, deep as in a 7-mile hike in with a pack full of all the food, water, and shelter we would need for the next few days. Deep as in, if we needed something that wasn't in our packs, we were out of luck. We left early, took it slow. We paused more often as the sun got warmer and warmer. By mile 3, we were a sweaty mess and becoming mindful of the amount of water we had left. By mile 5, every muscle was aching from the 40-pound packs we were taking along with us. By mile 7, when we finally arrived at camp, we scrambled to get as close to the alpine lake as possible for cooler air. It was beautiful. We'd clambered up the side of a few mountains to reach a lake surrounded by towering ridges. Mountain goats were drinking from the waters. It was pristine, rugged wilderness. The goats didn't stay long after we arrived, neither did the sun. The height of the mountains made the ball of fire that had been causing some less than holy words to escape our mouths just a few hours before to dip out of view. So before any trip like this, I like to do my research. I want to know what weather should we expect? Are there any wild animals out there that we need to worry about? I knew this kind of area experienced a lot of summer lightning storms that could just pop up suddenly if you weren't paying attention. And wolves roamed the area for a mountain goat snack. But looking at the slow-moving clouds and the calendar-like beauty of the lake, it was hard to imagine anything that insidious happening to us. As evening really settled in, we'd set our tent up, sleeping bags were rolled out, a dehydrated backpacking meal was consumed. It had started to lightly rain, so I secured the rain cover over the tent. Everything was calm. And that's when I heard the deep rumble of thunder over the nearby ridges and saw just how dark the clouds had become. Okay, I thought, it's still a ways out, the sky's blue above our heads, everything's fine. But an hour later, I was uncertain that that would be the case. The thunder got louder, the dark clouds obstructed the last light of the day. The tent was shaking from the wind as the lake waters got choppier and choppier. It was dark. Eventually, the sound lapsed into light rain against the tent as the thunder dissipated. As we laid on our backs talking in the dark that had fully descended at this point, we both thought we were out of the woods. With the thunder gone, All was quiet. We could relax into our sleeping bags. But suddenly, there was an aggressive kick of a rock and a loud snort not more than 10 feet from our tent. My friend grabbed my arm to silence me, and I lay completely still, feeling my heart race and my breathing halt. Was it a bear? A wolf? Just one of the mountain goats? Whatever it had been really large. Frozen stiff in the dark and sheltered by only a thin shield of cloth, it didn't matter what it was. We were trapped inside. Slow minutes passed. We didn't hear another snort, but our ears were so strained that even the subtle buzz of mosquitoes sounded more ominous, and normal forest sounds suddenly felt like they were playing tricks on our senses. After enough time passed, we frantically pulled some hiking poles into the tent to use as protection and made one mad dash outside to put our food away from the tent, headlamps on and hiking poles clashing to scare off predators. Laying quietly, the ease and banter from earlier was gone, and our bodies were stiff with fear. Sleep seemed far away. And that's when a sudden flash of purple-hued light lit up the tent. Lightning. Over and over, it silently flashed as we hunkered in a tent complete with metal poles all around. Would lightning strike a tent? God, I prayed, how I wish we had some service to Google some things right now. I can't say this terror lasted all night. At some point, I think my body shifted from anxious high alert to sleep, though I don't remember giving up that control. The next morning, the light streamed into our tent and was bouncing off the surrounding rocks. It wasn't like a normal sunrise where the light slowly gets brighter. It more seemed like the light had just appeared on its own volition, shifting suddenly from night to day. It was beautiful. After we packed our belongings and headed out on the trail, I looked at the rocks that had likely caused a goat to stumble in the night, the chipmunks racing around that had seemed like a pack of wolves in the dark, and the clear blue sky free of lightning, and I wondered, what made me so scared? Why was I afraid in the dark? Our scripture for this morning is about Jesus in the wilderness. I'm going to invite Catherine to come read it for us.
Okay, our scripture reading this morning is from the Gospel according to Mark in the New Testament, chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. This is the word of God for all of God's creation. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Catherine. So now, perhaps you've heard a sermon before that dives deeply into the temptations of Jesus, how he turns down all the grandeur Satan offers him to stay true to his purpose and obedient to God. However, I want to invite you this morning to wonder about the Jesus that is out in the dark, with no tent, no fire, no food, who is out with the wild beasts. I imagine that Jesus was afraid. Now I know we have to suspend our judgments a little bit for this point. Scriptures do say Jesus was waited on by angels. But I want you to close your eyes for a moment. Imagine that you are alone in the open wilderness. You don't have a single belonging with you, and the sun begins to go down until you can no longer see your hand in front of your face. As your sight fades, your ears perk up, and they catch the scratching and clawing and howling of animals you thought during the day were much farther away. There is nothing between your body and whatever is out there. The cold and fear start to get into your bones, and you can no longer seem to move. Sitting down on the uneven ground, you curl up small, eyes wide, breathing slow, and let the night unfold around you. I think this is what Jesus experienced. And I think Jesus was also afraid. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 whole days, and I imagine the nights were the most difficult. Trying to sleep outside with no guarantee the weather would be kind, or the animals would stay away. Thinking about the people from his home village and his friends, probably sound asleep in their respective homes. Thoughts of running back to what was familiar and safe and visible may have been making a loop through his mind as the slow hours of the night ticked by. If scriptures tell us about times Jesus felt anger, sadness, joy, I think this passage also tells us that he most likely felt fear too. He sat through those nights in the wilderness, every minute and hour of them, until the morning caused the fear to slowly disappear with the light. As we are now in week 2 of Camp Local, I found myself reflecting on my few experiences of camp. How the drive to the location is always full of car songs, anticipatory energy, and delight. How you're perhaps wondering, as we talked about last week, what you'll need to take with you, what you want to get away from the experience. How you throw your belongings on a bed, grab some dinner, eat too many s'mores around the fire. How you lay down in your bed that night with the constant rush and flow of activity stopping, and you suddenly realize you don't know where you are, and that maybe coming to camp was a mistake. It's dark, the bed feels different, nothing smells right, the sounds are loud and unfamiliar and seem right outside your window. All the joy and excitement and anticipation drain out in a second, as you feel the tendrils of fear wrap around your heart and force it to beat faster than you can keep up with. It's dark. You are afraid. And most of us can attest that we made it through nights like these. We made it to the pancake breakfast the next morning, maybe a little embarrassed to make eye contact with anyone, worried they might recognize some leftover panic from the night before, worried they'll know we were afraid. But I think this is also where we find ourselves right now. We have been through an entire year of wilderness, unsure if we will have jobs, see family members, maintain good health, experiencing our senses working on overdrive as all of our familiar routines were stripped away. We had to navigate weeks and months of wilderness. Feeling the future to suddenly be an empty expanse of darkness. And I think even as we re-enter normal, we still haven't made it out of the wilderness and back into the village. Am I supposed to wear a mask in here? How can I possibly return to a 40-hour job in person? Can I make it through more than one social interaction in a day? You see, I think we are afraid. As Jesus set out in the desert, I imagine the first night was rough, and probably the next few as well. Maybe he wanted to go home, as many of us might have felt on that first night of camp. Maybe he wanted to go back to what he knew and could see because keeping company with the mysterious sounds of the night was too terrifying. Maybe he was debating whether what he had hoped to encounter from the wilderness wasn't worth the risk and fear of those night hours. But eventually, I wonder if after discovering that a morning always followed the night without exception, if he learned how to ease into the dark. I wonder if he learned by its sounds and feels that what he couldn't see wasn't as terrifying as he imagined. That perhaps the bear was really a goat. Perhaps the wolves were really just chipmunks. I wonder if Jesus began to befriend the dark. I'd like to tell you one more story this morning. This one comes from Barbara Brown Taylor. She narrates her own experience of being in the dark. So once again, picture yourself around the campfire, the stars above your head, and crickets in the background. My little room is not fully lit, but it is not dark either. Watching the shifting patterns outside the window takes me back to one of the most frightening nights of my life, which also featured a window at the foot of my bed. I was alone in a beautiful house in the woods on a night of deep snow. Everyone else had gone home for the holidays. I was lying in a bed where I knew someone had died several years earlier, though not by violent means. She was extremely fond of the house from everything I'd heard, having spent the best years of her life there. I was trying not to think too much about that as the hour grew later, and still I could not sleep. But clearly I did sleep, since I woke later to the sound of a sharp crack in the hallway. It sounded like someone walking on loose floorboards towards my room. Impossible but audible, though as soon as I sat up, the sound stopped. Had it been a creaking rafter? Had a branch heavy with snow fallen on the roof? When the crack changed to a shuffle, the fear came on me so fast I literally could not move. Though I willed myself to stand up and turn on a light, or call out a question to whatever was in the hallway. Who are you and what do you want? The dread of it sat on my chest like a rock. Before long, I was sure I could hear breathing just outside my closed door. I was also sure that the presence was malign, though it is impossible now to say why. Though closing my eyes was out of the question, I did not look down for fear I would see something dark and foggy pushing its fingers under the door. I looked up instead in the general direction of God, but God was not present in any way that helped. I recited the Lord's Prayer as the next best thing. The frightening presence outside my door did not come in, and it did not go away. Whatever power kept it where it was, I gave thanks with shallow breaths, afraid to make any noise that might shift the balance. This went on for hours, or at least I think it did. The clock was on the chest of drawers, and I was pinned to the bed, where the only thing I wanted in the world was for the sun to come up. When the room began to lighten, I started to cry. The weakness of the thing outside my room grew in direct proportion to the light coming in my window. Worshiping the sun made all kinds of sense to me. While I lay counting the brightening minutes, the dark fog thinned and poured away down the hall, taking its fingers with it. My chest filled for the first time all night. The paralysis ebbed. I held my hand up in front of my face and practiced breathing in and out while I flexed my fingers. The dark night was over. I had been delivered into the bright light of a new day. Tonight, it is possible to accept this peaceful darkness as a token of the divine presence. But what about that frightening night? When darkness comes not as a friend, but as a threat, then what? In the absence of any sense of God, I wish I had known that it was still possible to trust God. Since I remained conscious, maybe I did. All these years later, when I think back to what I was snuffling outside my door, I wonder if it was a lost thing or a lonely thing that was looking for some company. It was certainly a dark thing, but that does not mean it was a bad thing. It did not harm me. My fear did that. It did not even open the door, which was not locked. All night long, it sat outside my door, waiting for me to decide whether to open up or not. And I decided not, a decision that has come back to haunt me in a whole new way. Whom did I refuse to let in that night? Did I turn the beloved away because of a frightening mask? Or was the beloved out there without a mask for once, asking only that I handle my fear long enough to let the divine darkness in? I will never know. I do not even know that I would do it, what I would do if I had to do it over again. How many times since then have I rejected love because it did not present itself in the way I expected, in a form acceptable to me? I do not know that either. All I know is that I'm as rested as I have ever been after my short night in the cloud of unknowing, where I let the darkness manage me for once, instead of trying to manage the darkness. When this last patch of quiet rest ends, the sun is full up. The shallow cave has been good to me. At least I know my way back. The way out is the way in. I think what I hope we feel in our bodies from this image is a tethering to Jesus' humanity through his fear. We feel those intense moments of crippling anxiety at the loud sounds in the dark, as we lay on our camp beds unsure of how we can handle a full night of uncertainty, as we suddenly find ourselves thrown back into lives that do not resemble the ones we've lived this last year. I hope we can remember that Jesus too was afraid. He's not unfamiliar with the heart-rushing, breathtaking moments of fear. He is there too, in the dark, feeling it with us. My hope as we experience normal again, as we re-enter our villages, as we sit at the camp table for a pancake breakfast, is that we do not forget our vulnerability in the night, but that we befriend it. That we take company in the dark and allow it to move on its own to the morning. That we don't rush through those dark hours, but find our way by going through them, learning from their sounds as we go. Jesus was afraid. We are afraid. I am afraid. Let us come to the table softer for having made it through the dark, and braver to face the full force of these days and these nights. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hey, it's Allie again. If you love what you hear, share this episode or send it to somebody who could use some good news this week. We'd also love for you to leave us a rating and reviews on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. For more information about the local church, visit thelocalchurchpbo.org. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Local Church PBO. Until next time, love where you are.